Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Our study in 1 Peter brings us now to chapter 3 and verse 18, one of the great gospel texts of Scripture that tells us exactly why Jesus suffered and died. It gives us God's grand purpose for the suffering of Christ. We read, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." This, of course, follows the discussion of suffering of believers. You recall that Peter has just given us steps to developing the courage that we need for the suffering that we are going to face. And he concluded that section of verse 17 with these words, "For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." For, verse 18, our text for today, "Christ also suffered once for sins," and so forth. So the suffering of believers is here linked to the suffering of Christ. We know, of course, that the suffering that Christ did was unique. No believer suffers for the reason that Christ did. No believer suffers in exactly the way Christ did. But there's nevertheless this connection, which the Bible makes repeatedly, that because Christ suffered, his followers must also suffer. And because Christ suffered, it is a privilege for his followers to also suffer. But now we get to the heart of it all, the suffering of Christ. And so, thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, February 11. And you know that this Bible study is made possible by the financial gifts of our radio listeners. Well, Peter is writing to believers scattered throughout North Central Asia Minor for the purpose of encouraging them in the midst of their trials and especially persecutions for the sake of the gospel. And he does so by reminding them of the gospel and the glories which yet await the children of God. And he does that in a number of ways, but none better than with rich gospel texts like the one we find before us in chapter 3 and verse 18, which is undoubtedly one of the great texts on substitutionary atonement found in the New Testament. It is a full text. In fact, it's difficult to explore all of the nooks and crannies of this text. But we're going to consider several aspects, I think six different aspects of the test before we are finished, to look carefully and thoroughly into this presentation of the gospel, which of course is the heart of the Christian faith, and that of course is the heart of the Bible. So we're at the very center of it all right here. And therefore, everyone needs to give careful attention to this verse. Whether young or old, babes in Christ or grandfathers in the faith, listen carefully. Ask God to give you ears. Ask God to enlarge your understanding. And if you are not in Christ or not certain of your relationship with Christ, ask God to open your heart to the truth of 1 Peter 3:18 as we look at what God did for sinners through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, we notice, with a little more detail, the purpose Peter had in view when he wrote this text. And of course, when I say the purpose that Peter had in view, it is the purpose that God the Holy Spirit, who is directing Peter, had in view. And as we've already seen, there's a link to the verse on suffering for believers. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil, for Christ also suffered. For Christ also suffered. And so this is following the previous emphasis upon suffering in the lives of believers. And Peter has just told us it's better to suffer for doing good than evil. Better to suffer for doing what is right and righteous and honorable and pleasing to God than to suffer for your own ordinariness or disobedience to the Word of God. Better to suffer for doing good like Christ did. Christ suffered for doing good. Yes, even if you should suffer for righteousness, remember, your Savior, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered for doing righteously. And therefore, the servants of Christ who suffer unjustly are suffering like their Lord and Master who suffered unjustly. Christians who are grieved by various trials are experiencing what Christ experienced, who was grieved by various trials. In fact, we notice, if we pay close attention, that great gospel texts sprinkled throughout the New Testament are often found in the contact text, rather, a practical exhortation. And here, the context is the exhortation to suffer in an honorable way, suffer in a godly way, and the ultimate model, the ultimate example of that is Jesus Christ, who suffered to the greatest extent and suffered in the most honorable way possible. If you study the New Testament at all, you will realize that there's a great deal of emphasis in the Bible upon Christians suffering. Contrary to the health and wealth practitioners of our day that basically tell us that if we have faith, we won't suffer. We will have nothing but material and physical blessings, health and wealth, good health and abundant wealth, that's God's will for all of His children. You aren't reading the same Bible I'm reading. Contrary to the health and wealth practitioners, contrary to much of modern evangelicalism, and contrary to our own natural inclinations, the Bible keeps bringing us back to this truth. Christ suffered, and we, who are the followers of Jesus Christ, will and must therefore also suffer. And so our text in 1 Peter 3:18 is first, and in its context, most obviously, given as an example of God-ordained suffering. Christ suffered not contrary to the will of God, but rather fulfilling the will of God, and our suffering is the same. When we suffer, we don't suffer contrary to the will of God. We are suffering in the very midst, in the very center of the will of God. Furthermore, we observe that Christ, though He suffered, was not destroyed by His suffering. And likewise, our suffering will not destroy us if we are God's children. Christ's suffering accomplished great good. The greatest good imaginable was accomplished by the suffering of Christ. Salvation was secured by His suffering. Salvation would never have been possible apart from His suffering. So Christ's suffering accomplished great good, and, listen to me, our suffering for Christ's sake will also accomplish great good. Not the same good that His did, but nevertheless great good in the plan and design of God. And don't forget this as well, Christ's suffering brought Him great reward. What was the reward that Christ received for His suffering? Well, it was the reward of gaining to Himself a great host of people. He was rewarded with His bride, as well as a new place of exaltation on the throne of God in heaven. There is something greater about his exalted position now after his coming to earth to suffer, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and was made in the form of a servant, and came in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's his suffering. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He earned a great reward through his suffering. He gained his bride, and he also gained the ascendancy from which someday every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will have universal adoration and acclaim because of his suffering. Wherefore, because of his suffering, wherefore, God has also highly exalted him. And dear friend, please keep in mind that when you are suffering, you too will receive great reward. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you understand that? We have people in our congregation who suffer unremittingly, who are in pain 24/7. It never stops. There is no pain medicine that can completely stop their pain, and have lived that way for years. I cannot imagine the degree of suffering which they have already experienced, some of them for decades. But I do know this, though I cannot understand their suffering, I cannot experience it because I have not myself suffered to that degree. I can nevertheless assure them that there is reward that is commensurate with their suffering if they will hold on to their faith in Christ, keep believing him, trusting him, honoring him in the midst of their suffering. There is reward that is commensurate with their suffering, which is to say, the greater the suffering, the greater the reward. I believe that. Christ's reward is greater than anybody's because his suffering was greater than anybody's. You say, well, his reward is greater because he's a greater person, and what he accomplished was a greater accomplishment, and he deserved a greater reward. Yes, he did, because of the greatness of his suffering, the depths of his suffering. He suffered more than any man ever has or could suffer, and commensurate with that level of suffering, he shall receive a reward that is greater than any man could possibly receive, but to a lesser extent, the same principle is true. Every child of God who suffers in faith, trusting God, submitting to the sovereignty of God, will likewise be rewarded in proportion to your suffering, dear friend. There are a lot of Christians whose rewards are going to be greater than mine, because their suffering has been greater than mine, and they have borne that suffering honorably as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't forget these things. There is a purpose for your suffering, even as there was a purpose for the suffering of Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.